Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, our first broadcast of the month of March. And most of you, northerners at least, know the old saying, in like a lion, out like a lamb, which they applies to March. And for most of the country, the first part certainly was true. I live in Iowa, and every day last week, the temperatures, the last week in February, believe it or not, temperatures struggled to make it to the low 20s as their high, and lows were in the single digits and close to zero a couple of nights. And, of course, you in the Northeast or all up and down the East Coast know what this winter has been like. But despite last week, March is the month spring arrives, at least on a calendar. And along with the calendar, the same as the birds and the bees and the trees, we urge you to make a fresh start this month. If you are unhappy with your life today at midlife, spring is a great time to change that. In fact, a lot better than the cold of New Year's resolutions. Why not make some resolutions? As the weather gets warmer, you're able to go outdoors and your spirits automatically lift. And if you're fairly happy with where you are today in your personal life and career, it still may be time to reach for the next level, higher level of sustained joy and accomplishment, because obviously for all of us, there is unlimited potential. So let's spring into spring for you as an individual at your workplace or small business, so that results improve and everyone is on a happier note. And for organizations where you volunteer, play, and pray so that you can enjoy your free time and doing both things that are fun for yourself and things to serve others with a better attitude for everybody around. And our programs this month are designed to help you at midlife to spring into spring. This week we will talk about a new you with increased energy, an ideal weight, both reaching it and keeping it there, and a life that's in mental, physical, and spiritual balance. And imagine a life in which every day, or most days at least, are filled both with unrestrained joy and a purpose of living. Days when you wake up in the morning, you feel like you just are doing exactly what you were created to be. You are and are performing what you were created to be. And next week, our guest will suggest how you can work less, make more, and have fun doing it. Boy, that's a perfect formula for a successful career, isn't it? Make more and have fun doing it and work less. And later this month, we'll have guests who will talk about how you can recover this spring from major life challenges. This guest has done some amazing recovery, and he'll talk about how you can too. And in the future program, we'll talk about why optimists live longer and have more healthy lives, and you can too. And later this month also, how to change attitudes of coworkers and people who report to you on the job so that your workday is filled with joy, just the same as your hours of leisure. In summary, we have an exciting month ahead, and this March, along with better weather, we are seeking a better, more joyful, and fulfilling life for all of us of so-called middle age. And that's what this program will be all about in March. And now let's jump into it as I introduce this month's first guest. Well, as we near the start of spring, do you feel drained or stressed out after a long and, for most of the U.S., a very harsh winter? Part of your stress, anxiety, and lack of energy may have to do with the weather. Maybe you had the flu a lot this winter, but not all of it. After all, there are joyful, energetic people in Fairbanks, Alaska, and Buffalo, New York, and there's pretty depressed and anxious people in San Diego and Miami Beach, I'm sure, as well. And our guest today says you don't have to suffer from depression or anxiety, whatever your age or whatever the season. And how about kicking off spring this year by reclaiming the joy, energy, and enthusiasm in your life? And our guest is Dr. George Zagreidis. He's an MD, and he's also a doctor of psychology. And he's known far and wide as Dr. C, because that's good, so I won't mess up his name anymore. And he's uniquely credentialed both as a board-certified family physician and as a licensed clinical psychologist. And he takes a whole-person approach to wellness. And he's authors of several books with really cool titles like Don't Let Them Psych You Out and Stop Feeling Tired. I love those titles. And hello, Dr. Z, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Roy, what a pleasure it is to be on your show today. Thank you so much. And with an intro like that, I'm pumped.
Well, to begin, how about a few easy-to-understand steps we could take to blast away stress and build up our energy so that we can have a joyful awakening this spring that will last throughout the year when it gets cold again next winter and for years to come? How about that?
Boy, that sounds fantastic to me. And nothing like these four areas that I'm going to mention. I want your listeners to take these four areas to heart. Okay, so diet, number one, exercise, number two, sleep, number three, and stress management for number four.
Yeah.
And those four areas, we find making changes in those areas for people help them feel much better, have a lot more energy when they follow good lifestyle habits and have a good attitude about all of it.
Yeah, what's wrong with this notion that's pushed by so many doctors and mental health practitioners of a pill for every ill, as you call it, to alleviate stress? That just doesn't work that well, does it?
In my opinion, Roy, and you make a great observation, it does not work very well. And unfortunately, in medical training, it's mostly disease-focused. And
yeah.
So when you're training as a physician, I'm trained as a family physician, the vast majority of everything is sort of couched in a pathology, a disease model. And
what's
so,
wrong with this patient?
Right. And then the answer, and all the exams are geared this way that you take to become a licensed physician, they're all geared toward what medicine or surgery do you perform when presented with this particular problem.
Yeah.
And so that's the model there. But what's interestingly enough, my training in clinical psychology is very different. It's a very holistic training.
Yeah.
And we're looking at things like attitude and lifestyle and healthy habits. And so I come from that background and apply it to the medical background. And so that's what led me eventually to reject this whole pill for every ill approach, which is so common today in healthcare.
Well, what's the best way to take personal control and to encourage your body to heal itself if you're down in the dumps or stressed out, anxious, maybe not feeling that well?
Roy, I tell my patients as well as encourage my readers and listeners like you have today to look at attitude. Look at attitude, because what will happen, we often as human beings have what are also known as irrational beliefs. Some authors call them that. I call them, unreasonable expectations. There's some people call them nonsensical talk. But what ends up happening with a lot of people, we start to approach our life with these filters that are related to these unrealistic expectations. So, for example, I have to be everything to everybody.
Yeah.
So a lot of people feel that way. Well, if you feel that way and you try to live up to that, you're going to be exhausted. You're going to be depressed. You're going to be anxious because you're never going to be able to achieve that.
And you know what? You're not really in control of your life once you go to that assumption that you'll be everything to everybody.
Exactly, Roy. And what I add to that is in life, and here's my psychology background talking, in life, you really can't control everyone around you and everything around you. Really can't, for the most part. What you can control is what goes on in between your ears.
Amen.
So you can't control your mind.
Reaction to things, but you can't control things all the time.
Exactly. So if you'll take an unrealistic expectation that I have to be everything to everybody, and then challenge that and take a look and say, where's the rule that says I have to be everything to everybody, And then you say there isn't a rule like that. So you just take life as it comes and you do the very best you can and keep a rational perspective about all of it.
And then you talk about the mind-body-spirit connection and that relationship to personal energy and wellness, so that it's all tied together.
Yes, and often in medicine these days we're missing everything except the body component. So I'm coming at this, you know, again from a wider perspective. Fortunately, I've been very blessed to have training in these different disciplines. So I'm often coming at it from, you know, human beings are very complicated. It's not just a set of chemical reactions in a body. It's their mental responses, and there's also the spiritual nature that people have. And so
Last summer we talked on this program about what we call the OPENS formula, which was an optimistic attitude, prayer, which is your spiritual, exercise and nutrition, which you talked about, and sleep, which is so important because you've got to renew your body through a good night's sleep each night. So that's the OPENS formula. It sounds like it fits right in with what you're saying.
Fits in perfectly with what I'm saying, and I appreciate you mentioning that too, because that's an excellent approach.
Yeah, and I know you also combine Western and Eastern traditions, which is in one of your books anyway, it talks about that.
Thank you. Yes, I had also the pleasure of being able to study some Chinese medicine during my training.
Oh.
And so what that did, and it's not that I'm practicing Chinese medicine, they're experts that are, you know, trained in that are just absolutely phenomenal, but it gave me a perspective, again, looking at nutrition, spirituality, stress, a variety of different things. I found, you know, there are people that really respond well to acupuncture and all kinds of other things and herbs and things. But I think the basic point that I take away from Chinese medicine is that it's a wellness-focused model versus a disease-focused model. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, why is no at times the most valuable tool that you have in your arsenal to defend against stress and anxiety?
Boy, that's a great question, and that's one a lot of us wrestle with. Now, there's some people that are absolutely fantastic at saying no. As a matter of fact, you can't even get them to say yes for anything. So they're good at that. They don't have that problem. But I have lots and lots of patients and clients and just others I know that do wrestle at times with being able to say no. That's actually been a problem area in my life. Over the years, I consider myself kind of a nice guy and everything, and so I want to help people and please people, and that's what doctors do. You know, we're kind of geared toward helping people. But what'll happen? People and situations and life will pound you with requests and demands, and before you know it, everything is, you know, out of control. And again, you're trying to live up to that. I have to be everything to everybody.
Yeah, you're not really your best to anybody if you're trying to be
exactly
for everybody.
Exactly, and so then being able to just say no, I'm going to pass on that. You know, and you can be nice about it. It's not necessarily a negative type of response, but you can set boundaries for yourself. And by doing that, you're not letting all that other stuff out there get in your head. You know, and again, we talked earlier about, you know, what goes on between the ears, and you're able to just, you know, keep some perspective about all of it and have some boundaries. And we find that people are just absolutely happier when they're able to do that.
You know who you are and what you're good at, and you accept those things you like to do, and you know you can really help doing, and you turn down things that, like, somebody asked me to participate in Habitat for Humanity, which is a great cause.
Fantastic.
I'm a lousy carpenter. I can't do anything on that, so I'd probably be less inclined, although it would be nice to contribute to that. I probably wouldn't do much good.
Well, you probably would be fantastic, but it's just a matter of prioritizing what you want to be doing, what you need to be doing, and I'm sure you have a full plate just helping people and your listeners, you know, through what you do right now. So, you know, I always tell people, you know, take the pressure off yourself. You know, do the best you can, and, you know, watch life kind of help you then accomplish your goals, and it's an exciting thing to witness.
Well, one of the greatest challenges to mental health for a lot of people and well-being is interactions with overly demanding or obnoxious people. It could be family members like your teenagers, or it could be an overbearing boss, or coworkers, nosy neighbors, or pushy salesperson. And you, are there some psychological self-defense tips? I know you wrote a book on the subject. How would you deal with these kind of pushy individuals?
Well, that's this is an area that many people wrestle with. So that particular book is called "Don't Let Them Psych You Out." That's the title,
yeah.
And the title sounds like what's going on with a lot of folks. You know, people feel like they're just getting psyched out by these folks. So kind of in a nutshell, you have nice people, then you have manipulative people. Just kind of two giant categories there, and there's a lot of overlap and the like. But you know, it's a matter of setting that mental boundary. So you've got this overbearing, awful, nasty, mean, rotten boss that just drives you crazy. Well, you know, you have to there are situations where it's very impossible to deal with it, and so you just have to, you know, move on. But most of the time, you can really put up some guards in terms of, like, just not letting it get in your head, not letting it get in between your ears. And some of the techniques for doing that are, you know, saying no to yourself, or just also I'll tell people, try to imagine just this kind of this invisible shield that you have. And then, you know, this incoming fire is coming at you, and just kind of imagine it bouncing off. You know, don't do anything to get fired, but keep a very realistic perspective. Don't let people push you. And, you know, in the book, I've got a lot of verbal sort of things that you can do to kind of help diffuse difficult situations.
So much of it revolves around how good you feel about yourself and how confident you feel about your own ability. And if you really have a strong inner compass and relationship to your spirituality and to who you are and where you belong, then it's much easier to defend yourself against these kind of, and also you start to, as you psych out yourself, you start to psych out others and see maybe why they're being the way they're being, so that you can deal with them more effectively.
Perfect way to put it, Roy. We often in psychology and in medicine will talk about internal locus of control versus an external locus of control.
Yeah.
Those of us that have an internal sense of control are more confident. Those of us that have an external sense, like everything else is controlling you, don't tend to be as confident. So I always help people work towards getting that you mentioned, that sense of self-confidence, that ability to handle things coming at you without letting it negatively affect you.
Yeah. Well, in the brief time remaining, maybe you can highlight a couple of the books you've written recently. I like the one, Stop Feeling Tired, How to Increase Your Energy and Free Yourself from Fatigue in a Matter of Minutes. I like that title. What's that all about?
I appreciate that, Roy. Thank you. This book is actually very applicable to middle-aged folks like myself who are finding themselves kind of sandwiched in that hectic lifestyle, both at work and at home, and just things, you know, out of control schedules and all sorts of things like that. And so what we did is my wife and I co-authored this book, and we came up with these various approaches to creating energy in a more natural, balanced way. So we're not talking about loading up on coffee or, you know, adding to your schedule or trying to get more energy so you can get even busier. That's not what we're doing. We're trying to help people find that balance that's very common in Asian Eastern medicine.
Oh.
And, you know, again, balance. And so people, when the human body and the human mind and the human spirit are in balance, you know, that's just a great place to be. So we're focused on those areas in that particular book. And then the other book is Stop Worrying About Your Health.
Yeah, I noticed you just updated that this month. The second edition came out.
We just did the electronic versions of Stop Feeling Tired and Stop Worrying About Your Health are now out on Amazon on the Kindle version.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of people, you say, suffer from this health anxiety syndrome, which is a horrible thing to have because you imagine diseases you don't even have.
We call it Dr. Google. It's causing a lot of problems. Cyberchondria is another element of this. And what I'm finding often is a physician or people coming in absolutely panicked because they've looked up on the internet their symptom, and it seems to indicate that they have a very unusual, you know, flesh-eating virus from Africa, you know. Yeah. So I'll tell folks, no, you just have a sore throat, you know.
It's no big deal. You just look at these medical journals and stuff, and there's so many symptoms that are so common to so many things, and you can always say, oh, I have a sore throat. I could be, you know, it could be lung cancer or whatever.
Yes, and when you're a medical student, it's often called first-year medical student syndrome because you're exposed to all of these various symptoms and all these books and genetic disorders that you're learning about, everything. And so they'll find a lot of medical students will have this come up in terms of health anxiety. But over time, you know, it settles down as you get as you get going with it. But we do have a lot of patients that come in, and I, you know, I try to work with them, you know, and to convince them that, you know, we've now run every test we can, and you've now had two or three doctors confirm that you don't have cancer. So we need to now look at, why are you so worried about this? And so then we kick in with the psychology.
Yeah, and then you give them your book.
That's exactly right, yes.
We
refer them to the website.
About that other book you have, Don't Let Them Psych You Out. And where can people find all these books? What's the best place that our listener could go to preview them or to buy the books?
Well, thanks for asking, Roy. We have a website, livingwholelivingwell.com, and the books are available for purchase through that website, so www.livingwholelivingwell.com, and Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all your major bookstores have these available online. I think they're even available in some of the brick-and-mortar buildings as well.
Those ancient brick and mortar where we used to
the old days, you know, you and I remember.
Well, I highly recommend anyone at middle age who's anxious and stressed out or lacking in energy to check out Dr. Z's website at Living Whole, Living Well, because I checked it out and it has a lot of great information there. And I speak from experience. With help, it is possible to overcome stress, anxiety, and depression, or just sleepwalking through life, as I often call it, because it took me 30 years to figure this out. But don't you wait that long. Give Dr. Z a chance to show you how now, if you don't have to wait 30 years to wake up to life. And then go to that website, and thank you so much, Dr. Z, for joining us here today.
Roy, it is an absolute pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for having me on, and I want to wish you all the best. Thank you.
And listeners, thank you for tuning in, and please check out my book as well, A Midlife Challenge Wake Up, and that website is middleagerenewal.com. That's where you can preview my book, and we'll see you all again next week. And thank you so much, Dr. Z, for that highly enlightening visit you had with us today.
Thanks, Roy. Take care.
Well, a lot of us at middle age are continually fighting the battle of the bulge, and if you're like me for the past 10 years, I'll wager that one of your New Year's resolutions was to lose weight in 2014, and we're at the beginning of March, and I'll also bet that 80 to 90% of you who made this resolution have either given up altogether or weigh today about what you did on January 1st. I know you swore off sugar, but sugar is just too delicious and is in all the sweet treats that you love. And you joined the gym and you went daily for workouts on the first week of membership, but now you always find an excuse not to go. You're just too busy. Or you promise to walk or jog 3 miles a day, but if you're in most of the country, it's just been too darn cold. And those of you in California and South Florida, you'll need a different excuse. But we're bombarded with weight loss diet offers on radio and TV, Weight Watchers, Nutrisystems, LimFast, et cetera, et cetera. And there's God knows how many diet books and diet pills that supposedly will suppress our appetite. The problem is most plans require purchase of expensive food and doesn't taste very good, diet pills that make us feel nervous or out of sorts, and books that often recommend an exotic treatment regimen that's out of the question for most. I once read a book, actually, where the weight loss solution was a trip to a diet clinic in Germany. And another problem is once we go off the diet or quit taking the pills, we gain all the weight back. And according to our current guest, there is a better way. And our guest is Dr. Sandeep Gurwell, who is going to describe the only way to lose weight and keep it off. And Dr. Gurwell is a practicing physician, founder of ACE Medical Group, and co-inventor of the Slim Plate system and its related mobile apps. And hello, Dr. Gurwell, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Thank you for having me on the show, Roy.
Well, what are some of the most common mistakes that most dieters make which prevent them from losing weight and keeping it off? Why is it so many of us don't make any progress on that?
Yeah, there are many different diet solutions in the market, as you just pointed out. Also, what happens is many times physicians don't have time to counsel their patients on how to lose weight the right way.
Yeah, I asked a physician one time, and he said, eat less.
Right, because and that's one of the things we face is, you know, obesity has become one of the main healthcare problem now, and they're even comparing obesity to be as bad as smoking when it comes to healthcare conditions and diseases.
I know you say that skipping breakfast is not good and drinking diet soda doesn't work. Why is that? Because you still want your sweets later? Is that what happens on the diet soda or the sweeteners instead of sugar?
Yeah, right. What we say is that diet soda and sweeteners, what they do is they rewire our brain. When we have the craving for eating sugar or sweet, what is happening is our brain is trying to get some calories.
Yeah.
But if we are drinking diet sodas, we are not giving our brain calories. What we are doing is we are trying to fool our brain. Now, you can only do that for so long because
our
brain is so smart.
Smarter than us, I guess.
Right. And because our brain is smart and it has been proven by research, by MRIs and brain scans, that our brain rewires and it will actually increase craving for junk food if we eat diet sodas or artificial sugars.
Yeah, I love that when people go to McDonald's and load up on a big fat burger and a bunch of French fries and stuff, but they eat diet soda.
Right.
But I don't mean to pick on McDonald's. They have some healthy food there, I guess.
Sure.
What are three elements that must be present in any effective weight loss program in order to lose weight and keep it off?
Well, great question. For any diet to be successful, and if any of our listeners are listening or looking for a diet plan they want to go on to, they should make sure that there are three criteria which the diet plan should satisfy.
Yeah.
Number one, it should be easy to do.
Yeah.
Any diet plan which is not easy to do will not last long, and then we will gain the weight back.
Yeah, this complex calorie counting or, you know,
right. And how long can you count calories?
Food every day, you know, in a certain
right. And that brings us to the second point, since you mentioned it. The diet should allow real food.
Oh, yeah.
Because if we don't eat real food, we can't eat protein shakes and powders for too long. And when we stop eating it, we are going to gain the weight back.
Yeah.
And number three, it should change our eating habit, because our old eating habits caused all this weight gain, and if our new diet does not change our eating habits intuitively, we will not lose the weight.
Yeah. Well, you have an effective, what you say is an effective method that we can lose weight quickly and easily in 2014. I think you call it the Slim Plate system. Tell us how it works and why it's more effective than traditional diet and exercise plans.
Well, Slim Plate system is a physician design. Myself and my physician partner, when we run a weight loss center here in Rock Hill, South Carolina for last 6 years. And we have designed this Slim Plate system, which based on step portion control, in which people go on this diet plan, which is basically a weight loss in a box.
Yeah.
And they would go, and it has four phases. In every phase, the ratio of macronutrient and their portion control plate changes.
I see. So actually, what you send out is a bunch of plates with some markings on them showing what portions you should have of various types of food. Is that part of the plan?
Well, that's part of the plan, but it's not just simple portion control plate, because it is designed in a way that the first phase will trigger weight loss.
Yeah.
And when they go to the second plate in the second month, it would continue to burn their calories at a faster rate and optimize their metabolism, which continues into the third phase, in which the plate changes. And finally, we put them on a maintenance plate, which they can use for as long as they want to.
Yeah, I know. In the third phase, you try to get closer to a balanced diet and as you're getting near the target weight, I guess.
Right, because that is the secret of maintaining the lost weight. A successful weight loss is not just losing weight. Successful weight loss is you lost the weight and you can keep it off. and you can only keep it off if you are on some kind of maintenance.
Yeah,
now, the good thing is the Slim Plate system intuitively trains a person's brain on what to eat and how to eat and how to eat right. So what happens is even if they come off the plate, say, in 2 months or 3 months, they're still going to be able to control how much they are eating automatically.
Hopefully you're strong enough willed by then and good habits so you don't have to have those lines on your plate anymore and you still keep those portions approximately where they should be.
Right. And we had actually patients who used the Slim Plate system for 2 weeks, and when they went to the restaurant and they got this big, huge platter in front of them, they could actually tell that how much they're supposed to eat, and without even anybody teaching them.
I wonder if anybody brings the plates to the restaurant and dumps part of the food off that big platter from the restaurant and just
right.
to fill the plate.
Well, many times, you know, in restaurants you get served portions of almost 2 to 3 people given to one person, and we are all, taught not to waste food, so we all end up eating more than what we should.
I always take these silly carry-out boxes, and usually they go to waste in the refrigerator because I don't want to eat them after the second or third day. But well, is your system appropriate for those of us that only want to lose a modest amount, say 5 to 15 pounds, or is it mostly for people that have a lot of weight to take off?
So we had people who were not obese and just overweight and want to lose maybe 5 or 10 pounds. They have lost weight with the system. And in fact, there are some people who have lost even up to 45 pounds.
So it is
good for almost every person, and especially because it's an intuitive way of dieting. It's not calorie counting. It's not, trying to force in protein powders and shake, which nobody likes. And they are able to eat the real food. So patients don't have to cook separately for themselves. They are eating the same food what the rest of the family is eating.
Yeah, that I think is a major advantage over these other plans because you don't have to go through all the special food preparation and stuff for one person and the rest of the family eat something else. But give us your website address where people can go to learn more about your Slim Plate system.
Our website, before that I would like to mention is that we also have a completely free weight loss online program for everybody to participate, and they don't have to buy anything. They can just join the program. Dr. Nui, my partner, she's a weight loss expert.
Yeah.
She gives lectures every month, and they can visit it online at their home. So they can go to our website, www.slimplatesystem.com/register. Or our website, slimplatesystem.com, and they can enroll into this free online weight loss program. And they can also learn more about Slim Plate system if they want to.
Yeah, that sounds great. And I like the price of that Slim Plate system because some of these food, nutrition, diets and stuff, you know, Weight Watchers or whatever, I'm not naming names, but some of them get awfully expensive by the time you order all that food, but your price is quite modest for this Slim Plate.
Well, we want it only, something that people can afford and also something that people don't have to keep on spending for the rest of their life. So they pay for it one time, they're done with it, and then they have the system for themselves, they can use it. Because one reason people have to come off the dieting is because of these climbing costs, like you said.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I noticed also on your website that you offer a free personalized weight loss assessment, and you can also have a free phone consultation as well as that registration for that seminar.
Yeah, we do want everyone to have a good amount of access so that, you know, they know how to lose weight the right way.
Well, if you're like me, you're frustrated by repeated attempts to lose weight and keep it off, I'd highly recommend the doctor's website, and that's once again www.slimplatesystem.com. And, this conversation makes a lot of sense to me. And thank you so much, Doctor, for joining us here on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Well, thank you for having me, Roy.
And listeners, we'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.